You're listening to the podcast Water X Future, presented by Aquaporin, a water technology company based in Denmark. Aquaporin works to preserve one of our most valuable resources, water, by combining advanced bioengineering, open innovation, and circular thinking. In this podcast, we talk to experts about water and all the opportunities and dilemmas it contains, technologies rooted in nature, the purpose of innovation, and the spectrum between science and humans. Welcome.
Hi, my name is Ono Sullivan, your host, and the person conducting the interviews is Mette Melgaard Henriksen. In the last episode, we talked about the Danish water ambassadors. We talked to two of them, one based in Rome and one based in the US. Who are they and what do they do? These were the questions we sought to answer. This episode is a little different from the previous, because in this episode, we'll talk about Aquaporin's first year as a listed company, or in other words, life after getting listed on the Nasdaq Copenhagen Stock Exchange. For different perspectives, we'll talk to three people in this episode. Niels Heying, the chairperson of the board, Matt Butchkovsky, the chief executive officer, and Klaus Juhl Wolf, the chief financial officer. Together, they can help us understand the journey Aquaporin has been on since they became a listed company 1 year ago. They can also provide us with insight into the future of the Danish water technology company. On June 28th this year, Aquaporin celebrated its first year as a listed company. Last year, at 9 in the morning, a rain of confetti fell on the floors at the company's headquarters in Lyngby in the north of Copenhagen, Denmark. There is no doubt that this was a big day for Aquaporin, whose footprint and determination to keep standing up for the world's most essential resource, clean water, made it all the way to the stock exchange. In this episode, we will try to give you an insight into the listing, including the many years of hard work ahead of ringing the bell on the big day, and the wins and challenges during the first year as a listed company on the Nasdaq. We have invited three people to share their thoughts on this. One has been part of the journey for a long time. Two are new. Of the three men being interviewed in this episode, Niels Heying is the one who's been part of the Aquaporin journey for the longest time. He was also present last year when Aquaporin was listed, where he gave a speech as the chairperson. So let's hear him explain what happened that day and what it means that Aquaporin has become a listed company.
Can you take us through the day? Tell us a little bit about what happened.
Yes, of course. That day is mainly ceremonial. It's a kind of day where you celebrate that a lot of hard work that has gone into an IPO, the listing, that was successful, and that we all could kind of relax a bit again after that very long period. So, and of course, what goes into that is not only the sort of 6-12 months hard work on the actual IPO, it's years of planning the company to be ready to get to become a public company. So that's a lot with sort of internal governance and how you make financial reports and all of that. So that was ongoing for some years, even though we didn't know whether we would actually end up listing the company. But you have to prepare that. You can't do it all in the last 6 months. So that day again is where you said, okay, it is a kind of we did it kind of day, and really helpful for the company also knowing that the company was then well-funded and ready to pursue the strategy that we had described for the new investors.
So it was a day with a lot of excitement as well.
It is an exciting day. It's also down to pushing the button for the first trade on Nasdaq, the stock exchange, and following the first trades and so on, which is always fun. And it's something that we actually chose to share with a lot of the Aquaporin employees also, because we did not have it at Nasdaq, but actually at Aquaporin. So Nasdaq came to us with this big button that we could push for the start of the trading. So a lot of fun, yeah.
And you are a very busy man, I assume. You hold different board positions at different companies. Why have you taken on the role as chairperson of the board of Aquaporin? And in other words, what interests you with aquaporin?
Yeah, I mean, in the beginning, when I first joined, I was I'd become the chairman of one of the largest or the largest shareholder, that was Michael Goldsmith Holding AS, and I represented them at very first as board member, and then very soon I became the chairman. And why did that? Because it's not automatic. Because you're doing one, you're doing the other. So the question is really relevant. But I think that goes to what is actually the raison d'être for aquaporin, and that is, as you know, has some purpose that is easily understandable for a lot of people, including me, I guess. So it's a kind of company we would say what we're trying to achieve. You would really like to give some of your time to see if you can add some value to it. I thought that this is a company where that really makes sense. And for, I guess, all employees coming to work every day, it's not difficult to describe to them why there's a purpose and why it makes sense.
And as you said, you've been part of aquaporin for 6 years. Can you describe the journey that aquaporin has been on for these 6 years?
Yes, I think I can. I mean, this is a full journey in the sense that, like with other kind of either tech companies or biotech or other companies like that, you're in a completely different phase. You're trying to refine your research or even your products or whatever it is, and then getting from sort of a research-oriented company into a sort of real company with products and sales, and you go to not only having scientists in that part, you have a sales force, you have production people, and that caters for a lot of completely different skill set that are needed, and also a different, you have to find a sort of mutual culture for a company when you go from sort of one group of people in the company to all sorts of people in the company, including a professional board and also that dynamic. So it is really the full journey, so to speak.
And how do you, as a chairperson, support aquaporin on this journey?
That's really a good question. I've actually wondered what is it that I'm doing. No, I think, I mean, bringing some experience from other, both private company, but also very importantly, listed companies. As a chairman, you have to be there to discuss strategy and in the earlier days, funding and things like that. So that's where I found I could help. And so that's what I'm trying.
And have there also been some challenges for aquaporin, for you as a chairperson, on this journey?
Absolutely. I mean, in before the listing, but also as other companies that sort of have a burn rate that you need to cater for, you have a constant sort of funding requirement, and then you need to have the confidence that you can actually solve that. And I think we were able to do that, and also to sort of see what is the sort of longer term goal, and then go for that, and then along that route, you kind of get some very good news from time to time, but you also get some disappointing news. Could, for instance, be things are dragging out, taking longer time, and then that's changing your plans and so on.
And from your perspective, what does it mean that aquaporin has become a listed company? Has it changed something, and what?
Maybe not so much for my role, because as a chairman, you're kind of doing the same thing. There's a little more with investors and so on, but for the company as such and employees and hence the, you know, stakeholders and so on, it presents a huge difference. It's you're more often called as a company when you're visible, and you're much more visible as a listed company. There's an interest from media and all sorts of other persons, including politicians and what have you. We have ministers visiting, we have ambassadors, we have all sorts of things. And it may have happened anyway, but it definitely helps that you have a listed position where it's easy to go in and see what it's all about. And you're very transparent as a listed company, so it's all readily available on the website and so on. So yes, it has helped.
And with you as a chairperson, how does the future look for aquaporin as a listed company?
I mean, that is actually easy to answer, because we have described what we're trying to achieve and where we'd like to be in a couple of years' time. And it's really to achieve those goals in terms of products and customer sales and what have you. that we are really working hard to do. So we have had the time of sort of proving the concept. We are beyond that, and now we are trying to achieve also sort of getting the sales and the structure of the organization, all of that in place for many years to come.
Good luck with that.
Thank you very much.
We did it, kind of a day. This is how Niels Heing described the day Aquaporin got listed on the Nasdaq. It was, of course, a very exciting day, pushing the button for the first trade on the stock exchange. There are many benefits to being listed, as Niels Heing emphasizes. A listed company is more visible, but also very transparent. Even though Matt Butchkovsky, the new CEO of Aquaporin, hasn't been part of the journey for as long as Niels Heing, we also wanted to hear his thoughts on Aquaporin being listed on the Nasdaq. He has always worked in the water industry, but what was his personal motivation to become part of Aquaporin just as the company was becoming a listed company, and even moved from Paris to Denmark? In an interview with the Danish media, he says that he sincerely believes Aquaporin's potential is almost infinite. We asked him what he means.
It's a pleasure to have you join another episode of the podcast. Last time we talked about cathedral thinking. This time we'll talk about something completely different, Aquaporin being listed on Nasdaq. But first, as we might have some new listeners, will you start by introducing yourself?
Yes, of course. Hi, Mette. It's a pleasure to be here with you. So my name is Matt Butchkovsky. I'm the CEO of Aquaporin. I joined Aquaporin over a year ago. Where I joined in the chief commercial and deputy CEO role. That role has evolved to the CEO role at the beginning of this year. And I come to Aquaporin from Suez, which was previously GE Water, where I spent about 10 years in working in water treatment in various technical and commercial positions. Most of my background is from the water and separations industry. I've been in this field for, pretty much my entire life. By nature, I'm a curious person. I like to develop new business, new ideas, and I was very excited to join Aquaporin. So that's just a little bit about me.
And what was your personal motivation to become part of Aquaporin just as the company was getting listed?
So it's interesting because I did not know that Aquaporin was going to be listed on the Nasdaq when I applied. This was information that was kept confidential by the board, and so I knew the company was preparing itself. You could tell that by the quality of their financial reports, by the quality of the documentation that was available externally. Right after I joined the company, I was actually then informed that we were getting ready to be listed. And so I was of course very, very excited. But really what got me excited about joining Aquaporin, it's more the technology, it's more the promise of the technology that it holds to do things differently in the water treatment space.
Becoming CEO of Aquaporin also meant that you had to move from Paris to Denmark, right?
Yes, it has. Yes. So I'm originally from Canada, and with the family we had spent 3 years before joining Aquaporin in Paris. And so, of course, for the role, we had to relocate. And it's been a very good experience so far. We're very happy. The people have been great, both in Denmark and at Aquaporin. So overall, no complaints. And it's been a really great journey so far.
We also asked Matt Butchkovsky to describe the time leading up to and the day of the 28th of June last year, when Aquaporin rang the bell, had its first day of trading on the Nasdaq, and officially became a listed company.
Yeah, of course. So, I guess the time leading to the listing, I've joined Aquaporin in March, and then time has flown by until June 28. I mean, for me, it was a lot of the time was spent on learning the company, on understanding the technology better. But really, on top of that, there was a lot of meetings with cornerstone investors, a lot of meetings with different bankers, with lawyers. Spending quite a bit of time on ensuring that the prospectus was well written and ready for our investors. And you know, a lot of that, in addition to this, there was, of course, the commercial management of the business as, you know, as I was hired as chief commercial officer. So that was part of my responsibilities as well. But you know, it almost seems a bit like a blur now because there was so much work and so much and such a high paced environment. But then when the 28th of June arrived, we rang the bell, NASDAQ came here, we had the confetti, we had the celebration, everybody was quite excited to finally, you know, ring the bell, to finally press that button and to be traded and see our first trade being done on the NASDAQ. So overall, a lot of excitement. I know for quite a few people at Aquaporin, this has been a journey that took many, many years to get here. I feel like I was very fortunate to be there a few months before that, so I got to see the transformation.
And what has then happened since last year on the 28th of June?
So, you know, so after the 28th of June, I remember very clearly that it's a bit like a, you know, like a wedding. You spend a lot of time preparing for it, you know, and it's this one special day. And then after that, you're like, okay, now we continue. And so it felt a bit like that. You know, people, of course, went for their summer holidays for a few weeks. But when we came back, it was, we felt that some things had changed. We were able to now know that we, you know, we're a well-funded company for years to come, which means that we can now focus on execution. We had laid out a strategy and a prospectus, which also meant that, okay, now is the time to execute what we had identified. And that's what we did. So people went back to their desks. People went back to their labs, and we continued, you know, commercializing as that was what, you know, that was one of the major reasons why we had the IPO was to give us that commercial intensity, that commercial ability to go for a number of years.
I've read an article with you in Danish media where you say that Aquaporin's potential is almost infinite. What do you mean by this?
Yeah, it's a thanks for bringing this up. I think Aquaporin is a very unique company. What I mean by this is that we have this technology anchored in biotech that is based on nature's way of filtering water. Nobody else is doing this. And when you look at what the Aquaporin protein does in nature, it's really an extremely efficient water filter. I think there's a statistic that we published somewhere that 1 gram can filter up to 700 liters per second, which is really incredible when you think about it. And we have created the first biomimetic membrane, the first generation of the Aquaporin inside membrane. I think there's a lot of potential to create the next generations of this membrane using our core technology. And that's really what I meant when I say that the potential is almost infinite. It's in the sense that there's Aquaporin 2.0, 3.0, and there is many other potential applications that we can do with the Aquaporin protein, or at least, you know, much more improvement in performance of the current membrane technology that we have. And so I think we're just, you know, at the beginning of what we can demonstrate. And we are spending a lot of effort in labs and on our biotech side to further improve the performance of the Aquaporin membrane. And I truly hope that we'll be able to demonstrate this in the coming years, that we are achieving even greater purification performance.
And can you also talk a little bit about the strategy to ensure Aquaporin becomes one of the world's leading water technology companies?
Yeah, of course. So I think for me, part of our strategy is really important that we focus on key applications and select the key customer that share our curiosity for science and innovation. I think with the right launch customer, we can make a difference in some very specific areas of water technology. So, for instance, as we win new business with these customers, whether it's in food and beverage or in drinking water, we will make sure that more and more people hear about Aquaporin. And we want to continue advancing our core technology as well, so that we ensure that these customers have the next generation of our technology available to them. So to me, it's really about selecting the right customers that allow us to demonstrate the performance of our product in some very specific applications, ensuring that we can do co-branding with those customers, because that in return communicates the name Aquaporin to the world and we become better known.
So it's my impression after conducting all these interviews with different people at Aquaporin that the future looks very bright for Aquaporin. What do you think that Aquaporin is heading towards, and how does being a listed company support that journey?
I think Aquaporin has demonstrated that we have three key areas in which we operate: industrial water, food and beverage, and drinking water. I think in those three areas we are making some pretty good advances. We have had some press releases about drinking water, about food and beverage, and also industrial water. And this is where I think we are today. We have demonstrated that we're able to accomplish the things that we set out. And now it's a matter of repeating those successes. It's a matter of adding new key accounts in our specific businesses. It's a matter of demonstrating that we can now scale up from pilots to full applications. And I think that as we grow, as we are a listed company, we are now able to also have access to capital markets should we require additional resources to grow in the future. And I think that's also one of the benefits of being a listed company is that we now have this new means of injecting liquidity into the company if it's needed in the future. I'm very excited about seeing where the journey takes us as a company.
On a more personal level, now you're still quite new in Aquaporin, but what are you looking forward to the most?
To me, I'm very excited about seeing the company grow, seeing us have repeat business, being able to solve customers' challenges. I would love Aquaporin to become a recognized brand in drinking water. I would love people to have Aquaporin purifiers in their homes, something that is recognized as delivering this clean water filtered by nature. I want us to add value, whether it is in food and beverage or in industrial water, for instance, by creating new products or recovering new resources. These are things that would make me extremely proud of the company, and I'm very excited that everybody here is working with this common goal. I would say another dream of mine is to really get the innovation team to produce that second or third generation of the Aquaporin Insight technology. This is what got me super excited in the first place, and I truly hope that we're going to be able to achieve that to really demonstrate that we have something extremely unique and that we are able to make a huge difference.
Good luck with that. I'm really looking forward to follow the journey here from the side.
Thank you very much, Mette. It's a pleasure.
So, as Matt Butchkovsky says, some things have changed after the confetti celebration a year ago. Aquaporin is a well-funded company for years to come, and the focus now is on execution. And the potential is infinite. Aquaporin is a unique company with its technology anchored to biotechnology based on nature's way of filtering water. No one else is doing this, he says. This is only the beginning for Aquaporin, and he's looking forward to the journey to becoming the world's leading water technology company in three key areas: drinking water, industrial water, and food and beverage. The last person we'll talk to is Klaus Juhl Wolf. He is also one of the newest members of the Aquaporin journey, having started this May. However, as the new CFO, he can provide us with a fresh view on Aquaporin from the outside. What did he think about Aquaporin when he took on the position of CFO recently?
You're quite new in the Aquaporin family. Can you start by introducing yourself to our listeners?
Sure. Thank you for inviting me to the podcast. Really happy to be here. As you said, yes, I'm new to the company. Been here since 1st of May. Took over as CFO on 20th of May after Bo left. So I'm 49 years old. I have a background as financial director, CFO in a number of different international companies, both listed, private equity owned, et cetera, et cetera. So coming with a good, let's say, mixed background, but also have experience with, a CFO for listed companies before.
Can you share with us what thoughts you had of Aquaporin when you took on the position as CFO?
Absolutely. Obviously, I was approached and I was I did, you know, my due diligence of it. And I was first of all very impressed with the course and the mission of the business and actually also the branding. I thought, you know, wow, I thought it was a huge company first when I saw this fantastic branding and kind of expression they had. So very impressed with that. And then I met obviously with our CEO, Matt Boskovsky, and a number of the guys from the board. And, you know, just this kind of the personalities, the passion, the expertise and extreme professionalism, you know, was something that really inspired me. And so, you know, I always choose, when I choose a new company, it's about, you know, what are the mission of the business, and especially, I mean, what are the people you're working with? Because you can have the best mission, but if you don't have the best colleagues, then it's going to be difficult.
That's absolutely true. And I can also relate to that. While producing this podcast, everyone I've interviewed at Aquaporin is, yeah, everyone is super inspiring, and it's a super inspiring business in itself.
And I mean, after joining, I mean, I can only say, I mean, the same picture that I saw when meeting with Matt and the board members, you know, I see the same with the colleagues. It's a fantastic company to join, you know, you feel welcome from day one. It's extremely easy to come in, even though, you know, it's a very complex product. But I mean, I felt at home and welcome from day one. So it's been really fun and great first time, first kind of month and a half.
What will your role be at Aquaporin now that Aquaporin is a listed company?
Obviously, I mean, compared to non-listed companies, it's somewhat slightly more complex. So, I mean, obviously, I'm in charge of all investors' relations together with a colleague of mine, Sarah. And so we have taken that directly on my shoulders. So there's going to be a lot of task dealing with the fact that we now are has been listed for a year and still are. It does come with tasks. So that's going to take a lot of time on me. It's going to be a lot of time spent on investors, analytics, and so on, and actually also with supporting the board. But on some of that, I mean, one of the things that I bring to the table is a lot of business focus. I've been driving scale-ups, turnarounds, growth businesses before, and I've always kind of managed to get finance to be really business-oriented and add value into it. So that's what I'm going to be doing, not only supporting Matt and the rest of the executive management, but also be close partner to the rest of the organization.
And what does it actually mean for a company to be listed? And even more specific, what does it mean for Aquaporin?
It actually means a lot. I mean, and I still see the people are in a learning curve, because especially when you're listed, there's a lot of constraints on what you can say and what you cannot say. There's a lot of information that you have to always have to think about what has been communicated to the market, because you cannot go out somewhere and start commenting on our performance beyond what we've kind of communicated to the market. So there's some very strict rules, which is really good and you know, essential for us to follow, about when do we communicate something to the market, how do we communicate it, so that as a listed company, you're not allowed to kind of differentiate on what you are informing one shareholder versus another one to it. So as an example, you know, when we talk to other journalists, you know, we really need to make sure that, you know, we don't say anything over and above what we have communicated. So that's one thing. Secondly, that it actually comes with a lot of administration work, because there's a lot of rules that you need to communicate this at this time. You need to communicate this in this format. It has to be, there's a lot of, a small announcement has to be clicked on the right attributes and so on. So quite a lot of administration work, and I think that's been new to the company, and I still see them, even though we went public a year ago, you know, we're still learning.
And how does it affect your work as CFO that Aquaporin now is a listed company?
It affects me in a way that investors relations actually takes up quite a lot of time for me, and also, you know, just filtering together with the rest of the guys, you know, communicating to the external world, what are we saying? We cannot go out and comment on to the press things. And I need to make sure, together with my colleagues, that we don't take any risk of that, and that, you know, that we really are consistent of our messaging. So that takes a lot of time. And then obviously, you know, with a very active board, which I really, I'm really happy with the board we're having on board. It's probably the best board I've worked with, is my first impressions. And so working with them, and also some of the investors, you know, keeping them informed and in the loop, takes a lot of my time, and it's a part I enjoy. But I mean, compared to a non-listed company, it adds to the complexity and the time constraint on it.
And now you just started your journey at Aquaporin. What are you looking forward to the most?
The entire journey, I think, you know, looking at where we are now, we have fantastic products, fantastic solutions. Some are more mature than others. But me being part of this journey where, you know, we're still a startup or a growing company. You know, we had limited revenue still. And to be part of that, building a company where we will make a successful business to bringing us into, you know, a self-sufficient funding and a profitable business by, you know, really working close with the commercial guys and some key customers. So that's part of what I really like. And obviously, you know, I love coming into a place where you can turn every stone can be turned and kind of, you know, looked at. I mean, it's not like everything's fixed. If you're in a big, let's say more mature group, then there's a lot of constraints on what you can actually look at. Where here, this kind of, you know, if we think it's a good idea, we'll look at it and we'll work with it.
I'm sure it's going to be very exciting. Good luck on that journey. And thanks for taking your time to talk to me.
My pleasure.
It's clear that Klaus Juhl Wolf has had a good start with Aquaporin. He emphasizes that after being with Aquaporin for just shy of 2 months, he's impressed with the passion, expertise, and professionalism which characterizes all layers of the organization. He also mentions that being CFO of a listed company is slightly more complex due to the regulatory requirements. But when you work with what he describes as the best board he's worked with, it probably makes it easier. This was the 14th episode of the podcast series WaterX Future, presented by Aquaporin. Today, we talked about Aquaporin's first year as a listed company from three different perspectives: the chairperson, the chief executive officer, and the chief financial officer, who all provided interesting insights into the first year on the Nasdaq. And it's obvious they're all super excited to be part of Aquaporin, not only because of the product, but also because of the colleagues. That's all for now. In the next episode, we'll talk about sustainable and innovative food and beverage technologies. Also, we're constantly on the outlook to improve and develop our podcast. If you have any thoughts or theme suggestions, send Aquaporin a message on Facebook. If you like what you've been listening to, please send some stars our way. Rate us wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll be very grateful. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back soon.